Welcome to Technology and Friends. I'm David Giard, and my guest today is JD Merrimee. How are you doing?
Yes, and I've heard all the jokes.
So. I'm not going to tell any jokes at all. I have no idea what you're talking about, Mr.
Yeah, right. Okay. Merrimee. Yes, I know exactly like it sounds.
What do you do, JD?
I have one of the coolest jobs in the company. So I work over in DX. And
I have one of the coolest
jobs
in the company.
You do too. Well, that's
I'm
awesome.
In DX also.
I get to go and go engage with customers across the board, whether it's small startups, whether it's enterprises, do disruptive, innovative things, solve hard problems, airlift in, code and evangelize, and then move on to the next cool project. So that's kind of fun.
That does sound like a really cool
awesome.
Job, I got to
yeah.
admit.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the disruptive, innovative things that you're doing.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've had a number of things over the last, especially year and a half since I rejoined Microsoft, especially around machine learning and such. But one of the areas that's really been a lot of fun to get involved with, again, is IoT. So Windows IoT.
Okay, that's the Internet of Things.
Internet of Things. And, of course, there's all kinds of boards out there now. There's all kinds of operating systems. You know, you can do it from Linux and embedded and so forth. But one of the interesting things we did with Windows 10 was IoT. Which allows us to run Windows essentially on a small footprint device. So that could be a Raspberry Pi, that could be a Miniboard Max, and we've also have the Dragon board now by Arrow Electronics and a Qualcomm board. Okay. But it enables all these really cool new scenarios that we really couldn't do in Windows before.
All right, like what? Give me an example.
Well, so
A really cool example.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because there's all kinds of fun ones from drones to everything else. But so last summer, through a contact of mine, we ended up having to sync, and he said, hey, what are you doing these days? And I said, well, I got the coolest job in the company, you know, next to yours, of course.
But no, you know what? I'm going to just pass that over to you.
So, and when I described it, he said, well, I have an opportunity for you. I'm on the board of a company called the Quest Institute.
Okay.
And they work with high schools and junior high schools across the world to put experiments on the International Space Station.
Wow.
It doesn't get cooler than that, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Space.
High school students are building experiments, and those experiments are going to be used on the space station.
Not just high school students, but down to the junior high school level.
Wow.
They've been doing this for a while, but they've been doing it with a very small footprint, like an embedded processor.
Okay.
The code was very difficult. It wasn't very reachable. It took a lot of time for students to learn this and build the experiments. So he said, look, we really want to look at using Windows because then we can use things like Node.js, we can use C# and C++ and Python and all these other cool things.
Right.
In order for them to build experiments, because the idea is to make it reachable to as many students as possible.
Yep.
And the idea is also to focus on the science, you know, actually learn and build these experiments and launch them. So I reached out to the Windows OSG team. And
OSG is?
Operating System Group.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, acronyms again. But it went over there and said, hey, we need to see if we can partner to put something cool on the space station with Quest. So we met with the team over there, Masato Sudo, Casey Hagen, and his team over there, with my team, and then, of course, over in the Quest Institute. And we built, you want to see it?
Please.
You want to see
it?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a shield and a Miniboard Max.
Okay.
You can touch it.
Oh,
if
thank you,
want.
You.
Yeah, it won't bite.
All right.
Well, not hard anyway.
So here's just a regular board.
A Miniboard Max board running Windows IoT.
This is running Windows on it, Windows 10.
Windows 10.
And the shield on top of it is connected. That's a bunch of input
through
and output
the header.
Ports.
Yeah, through a header port and through this USB cable.
Yep.
And the reason why we have the shield is that space is a harsh environment, as we found it. I'm a software guy, primarily, right?
Okay.
I love tinkering with this stuff. But there's these little problems like with radiation right
sure.
up in space. The space station passes through radiation belts. You also have the possibility that you could corrupt the OS.
Mm-hmm.
And so we needed a
Look
way.
Look at what happened with Major Tom.
that's a bad situation.
I'm sorry.
And ground
please.
Control could never get a hold of him again. So we don't want that scenario. So what we have, you see this on the side, I call it my 6-shooter, but it's an 8-shooter.
Right.
But what happens is the Miniboard boots Windows 10 IoT and it has a master control program. And the master control program talks to the student experiments, and the experiments do what they're going to do. I'll describe the one they're going to send up. But in the case that there is a problem, the top board also has a watchdog. And that watchdog, you can't see it running because it's not powered, but there's a blinky LED that gets a signal from the Miniboard. And if it loses a heartbeat, it'll restart the Miniboard.
Oh.
And if for a reason the OS got corrupted by radiation or such, it'll rotate to the next USB stick and all the way through all
eight. Automatic failover then.
You got it, exactly.
Oh,
because like I said, we have to deal with issues of flying this for minimum 30 days to 6 months.
There's not a guy up there with a screwdriver.
There is no tech support up there actually. Yeah, the company that they work with is called Nanolabs. they put it in an enclosure in the space station, uh-huh. and then ours goes in the enclosure, and it's got radiation shielding, but you can't guarantee that,
sure.
right? So with this platform, and this is going to fly May 31st, 2016,
wow.
on Orbital Sciences. It's going to be going out of Virginia, I think, at that point. And it'll fly up to the space station and stay up there for 30 days with one experiment for the first time.
What's the experiment?
Great question. So the whole idea about science and everything, right, in space, how do you construct stuff in space? Well, you know, if you've watched Gravity and you watch the, you know, what's the Martian, right?
I've seen Gravity, but not the Martian. Don't spoil it for me.
Gee, okay, well, he dies at the end. I'm just kidding, yeah. he didn't. So,
Matt Damon always gets saved.
You know how much money
end.
We spent always. Saving Matt Damon from space? You know, it's amazing as a country. Anyway, so where was I talking about again?
We were talking about Matt Damon.
The experiment, yes, exactly. So in the experiment, when you construct stuff in space, EVA.
Extravehicular activity.
Thank you very much. Or using the arms and things like that, there's always fraught with issues. But what if you can construct things in space using nothing but electromagnets? And so what they've done is they have an enclosure that has electromagnets on the side and little floating metallic objects of varying sizes and types. And then what this does, this feeds one of the experiments, which charges a capacitor. And at defined intervals, the capacitor, a movie camera starts, fires the capacitor, fires the electromagnets in a certain way to move the metal around in a certain way, almost as if you're trying to move construction material to different parts around a space station.
Interesting.
Microgravity,
so
right?
So this will replace those arms that go out and the robot arms or a human being
in some
going
cases,
out. And,
yeah. But if you're constructing a new module for a space station or the Spaceship Enterprise, you know, this is a way of actually doing something like that. So they have to do the math, they have to do the experiment, they have to take the experiment data.
Yep.
And it's just the kids that are involved in this, it's getting involved in STEM, it's going to be excited about science and programming and everything else. It's just an awesome program.
A lot of different areas of STEM. I mean, we're talking about computer science, we're talking about physics, we're talking about space exploration.
Very exciting stuff for young kids, you know, so so this is actually, we're going to talk about this, it looks like at Build, which would be great. So some of the students will be talking about it, and of course, planned launch right now is end of May. It was supposed to be March, but unfortunately they moved the launch up too early for NanoLab, which has this new lab they're putting up. So we got bumped to May, which is great, because I'll be at probably Build anyway. So.
Oh, good deal. Now, what's your role in this? What are you doing?
So me and my team, and I had a very small team on this one, we actually built the software. So we actually IoT and then coded up the software, which is the MCP. I didn't invent the name, but you know where it probably comes from.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the experiment SDK. So the students now go take a NuGet package. They have a very little amount of code they have to do. Essentially, there's some setup code, and then they had a whole bunch of callbacks that says, call my experiment now, call my experiment now, and as well as things like failover. If we lose power for a few hours, for example, then the MCP will say, hey, by the way, you lost power for about 3 hours. You might want to recalibrate your experiment.
Okay.
And that would be if the NanoLab or something lost power.
Okay.
So a lot of resiliency by design.
Tell me a little about the Quest Institute. Are they working in high schools, or is this an extracurricular thing?
It's
program.
A separate not-for-profit. They work actually in the school as part of the STEM program.
Okay, so they're part of the curriculum. They're just partnering with the high schools and
you
the junior high schools.
Yep, and they do that worldwide. They put more experiments, factually, they put more experiments on the space station than NASA has.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they put over 75 experiments on the space station so far of varying different types from a whole bunch of different students, from botany experiments to, you know, electromagnets to things like that.
You know, if NASA, if you're watching, the bar has been raised on that.
Well, and NASA is a partner, which is the great part, because
it's a very
it
cool
turns
partner.
Out that it's commercially viable to put more stuff on the space station, and the more things on the space station, the more it gets used, and the more we invest in space and science. And I think that's an
is
awesome
this.
Thing.
I mean, there's going to be students at home saying, or parents of students saying, "Boy, I want my kids to be involved in this."
Oh,
what
I
do
love
you tell
it.
Them?
Okay, two things. Number one, great question. Number one, the Quest Institute will work with any high school. You know, any high school that wants to do it. Part of them going to this platform was going from before they can only do like a 10, 30, 40, 50 high schools a year tops.
Right.
But now that the program's easier, more reachable, and so forth, they're looking to go now hundreds, which is fantastic.
And that's all around the world.
Around the world, yeah, exactly. The other thing is everything we do in DX, at least in my team, we put out in open source. So the code's out in open source. The shield design is out in open source. So someone could just take the schematics and print out as many circuit boards as they want and do their own experiments, whether it be for putting up in the space station or deep sea exploration, any place where there's a high risk of something failing. Okay,
let me make sure I understand this. So in case you weren't lucky enough to be at one of the schools where you're dealing with the Quest Institute on this program, you can still do this on your own. The code is available out on GitHub. This board right here is commercially available. You can buy that.
Yep, it's an Intel Miniboard Max.
But this circuit board, you would have to print. You have to
You would
make
have
that
to
yourself,
have it made.
Or have it made, rather.
But we have the schematics. We open source the schematics.
Okay.
You would then ship it off to a manufacturer, and they would print the circuit board, and they'd even solder it for you with the materials.
I see.
Yeah, and on here, it's just there's not a lot of components. There's a little MSP430, which is the watchdog. It's this little guy right there.
Okay.
There's a port extender for a general purpose I/O. If you do I/O Windows, or if you do IoT of any stripe, mm-hmm. you're used to using GPIO, binary inputs, things like that. There's a selector which actually selects these guys. So it's not a very intense board, actually. There's only a handful of devices. And there's pressure, temperature, and humidity on board as well. So we can monitor the overall experiment set and shut down or restart if there's a problem. So yeah, you can do this all on your own. But of course, getting it in space is the hard part, and that's where
you probably
Quest
can't do
partners,
that on your own.
Yeah, you know, if you could do that, let talk to me. I would love to know, as well as the Quest guys. But right now, it all goes through the current rocket programs like Orbital Sciences and such, and then goes through NASA for review and everything else. So fantastic program.
Sounds like
great for kids.
Great for grown-ups, too. I'll throw that out there. I'm intrigued by this. GitHub, we'll put a link to the repository, GitHub repository, and these schematics. And is there more information out there on the web where they can read about this?
Best place is to go to the Quest Institute, the website, thequestinstitute.com. There's a lot of information
out there.
We've
actually got their webpage over here, right over our shoulder there.
Which is perfect, and they do a lot of great programs like this, but they're focusing primarily on the ISS program now. And we'll probably have a case study out on DX on our GitHub repo for all of our case studies sometime in the fall, I would guess, of 2016. Once we're launched and everything's happy and you know, my day job, I have a little extra cycles for my day job to go do that.
You can actually document what you're, the cool stuff you're doing.
You got it, yeah.
Do you have an online presence right now?
My Twitter handle is at jmarryme, jmarymeee, or marryme.com. I got lucky to grab it before anybody else did. I have a couple blogs that I run, but you can find me out there. And great. Thank you.
JD, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity.
It was a pleasure.
Likewise.
And thank you for watching Technology and Friends.
The best part about being in the technology world, and I've been in this for a long time in various stripes, whether it's education, whether it's actually playing with technology, is it always felt like this is just a hobby that is paid well, and all the other stuff I do for fun. I mean, nothing could be better than to sit around and teaching classes and evangelizing. I feel like I'm discussing technology with just a bunch of friends that are of like mind, that have the same kind of passion and interest and want to do disruptive things to change the world. So that's really exciting for me.